This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
One thing I noticed about Tunku Ismail is that he's clear in his ideas and has repeatedly called for the same changes since he got involved in football. He's pretty consistent in that sense and he doesn't stray away. Your thoughts on this?
Yeah, his core beliefs, how football should be cleaned, how the refereeing department should be cleaned up, how the national team should have foreign expertise, how the FA should be run. I think those are things which he's stuck to it. It's the other things which sometimes...
I think he wouldn't sleep until he gets this done.
That's why I think he's the perfect candidate. He's got the conviction. He's got that ego. He probably doesn't want to fail. And that will help. That will help because...
In a positive way.
Yeah, Malaysian football really needs that. If you think about it, how worse can he get? Even if he ends up a failure, it's already been bad for 30 odd years. Everyone should give this man a chance. I won't say I'm not his biggest fan as a person or what, but I'm not his biggest fan because he runs Johor Takzim. It's not a club which I support. But at the same time, that is the only man looking capable to change Malaysian football today.
Tunku Ismail has strongly stated that Malaysian players lack education and ambition, and he wants to change this. And he said local players are happy to play for a top-tier team within the country, and that's about it. They don't aspire to going to foreign leagues and develop there. Why do we even have this mentality in the first place?
I think everyone's just too comfortable at home. And the salary packages here are just crazy. So a lot of players wouldn't even get half of what they're getting here if they go abroad. Safis Ali was an exception. He was getting big bucks here. He went to Indonesia, he got even bigger bucks. But that was because he had a name. He had a name in Southeast Asia. You look at other players today, where can they go? Malaysian players can't go to Thailand anymore. Many years ago, I think the likes of Safiq Rahim had an offer from Thailand but didn't want to go. It's because of the money here. Could be the Nasi Lemak as well. I don't blame football for this. I blame, well, football to some extent because of the salaries.
So education is some to
yeah,
some
the
extent.
Yeah, education system
But you
as
think
well.
It's the salary mainly?
Yeah, it's the salary mainly because if you're being paid $1,000 USD if you go out, which is a lot for a Malaysian player in a market outside, but for a Malaysian player here, it's peanuts. Why would you want to leave if you're earning 30,000-40,000 grand a week?
Well, how difficult it is to achieve this, to educate the players, to get them to go to foreign countries and hone the skills?
Well, number one is I think there needs to be a salary cap. Salaries are just getting crazier and crazier by the year. It's a lot of things are beyond FAM's control as well. It's more of the culture we live in. You look at a lot of other countries. You look at Thailand, for instance. They've got the determination. Here, you seem to think that the players are spoiled. I'm not saying they are or not, but you get that feeling that they're not fighting as hard as they could. And in some matches, it's like, hey, I've seen you fight more than that, but that's not happening. Malaysia losing 10-0 to UAE was one example. I don't think the players fought hard enough. And you compare Thailand, they're going out there playing with the best in Asia for now. You don't have many Thai players making waves outside the country yet. But if you're going to pick a country from Southeast Asia to send their players out, it's Thailand. Players must step out of their comfort zone. And if they really want to succeed, what is their ambition? A lot of these players realize that how far can they go? At the end of the day, if they go out, if it's one person going out, or even if it's 10 people going out, when they come back, what's really going to change? Is that 5-6 people going out really going to improve the national team? Because they know everything needs to change. And for them, it's like they are making a sacrifice and earning maybe quarter the amount of what they're going to earn compared to players who are not up to their standard playing in Malaysia. Which would you pick? I think if you ask the two of us, I would stay here as well. It's at the end of the day, they need to put food on the table.
Well, TMJ has also urged the media and fans, which includes you and me, to be part of this struggle to reform the country's football. Kita kayu sama-sama, this was what he said. And what kind of challenge do you think he's going to see on this end?
Well, he needs... everyone's going to expect results. For the fans, it's all about results. You could have the best organisation around. If your results are poor, the fans are still going to get on your back. They're going to come after you and all that. If the results are good, a lot of other things will be forgotten. You look at countries like Brazil. Brazil have got an FA which is messed up. As a footballing country for Brazil, the fans, they only started making noise when the national team started going down. Before that, everyone was happy. So it's going to be the same. It's going to be about results.
But I think he tried to keep the expectations low. He told fans not to expect anything outrageous at this point. He's made that clear. And in fact, he even said that even if he put Jose Mourinho to manage the national side, we're not going to achieve anything. So I think he's also trying to tell people, look, I mean, don't expect instant results just because I came in, because I need to clean this place first.
Yeah, you can't get instant results. But if you look at Southeast Asia, you could somehow get some results. Right now, I think only Thailand is way ahead. Vietnam, Indonesia, Singapore, and all are about the same standard. And if you look at the AFF...
How many countries are ahead of us, you think, right now?
Well, in Southeast Asia? Yeah. With our best players, with our best team, which we did not have in the Suzuki Cup in November, I would only say Vietnam and Thailand. Thailand are way ahead. Vietnam are at a distance where we could still bite them and we could still harm them if we play our best game. When you look at Indonesia, you look at Philippines, you look at Singapore. These are teams which you tend to get that they are performing better than Malaysia. But with the strongest players that you have, I think Malaysia can beat them. And with the likes of Safiq, Aidil, Kunalan and a lot of other Johor players which were somehow missing from the past few squads, the performance will instantly lift. The Asian Cup is a tournament which they have to get. They've increased the number of participating teams. You would not want to blame him if they don't get there because it's not his doing whatsoever because he only just came in. But they have got to go out there and fight for it because it's possible. It's very possible qualifying for the Asian Cup. We grouped together with Lebanon, Hong Kong and North Korea. North Korea's group favourites, Lebanon. We could strive and get a result. Hong Kong is another match which we can get wins out of that. So you look at the group, it's possible. It's not impossible. And with the players coming back, I think performance would improve. It's a superficial improvement. Well, these players have actually been playing with each other for a very long time. You put Safiq, Aidil, Kunalan, Amirul, they've been playing since they were teenagers. So it's not about getting them to click. The coaching job, I think it's unfair to say that Mario Gomez would do a better job than Ong Kim Swee. Because Ong never really had things going for him from the very beginning. I think after June or July, the four players withdrew. There were players surprisingly missing. So in the sense of that, I feel for him as well. I wouldn't come out and say that Gomez is the perfect choice or what, but he's a good choice in the sense he has worked with a lot of these players. At one of the press conferences, I think it was the 2015 FA Cup, Safiq comes out, or was it 2016, I think? Safiq comes out and says that, oh wait, I'm waiting for my papa. And he meant Mario Gomez. That's the relationship that they've built. The players like him. And I think they would fight for him as well and want to prove a point. Because players like Safiq, I was actually surprised that he retired. Because even Amirul, these are players which we've seen them play and we've spoken to them so many times. And you could sometimes see the fight in them. And somehow they say that, oh, we want to let the next generation. It didn't seem right. And today it seemed like everything was a part of a massive grand plan. Because almost immediately they're back. So it's not right, but it's good to have them back. It just seems like a massive grand plan which shouldn't have really happened.
And personally for you, what do you like the most from Tunku Ismail's vision?
There are a few things, areas which he spoke about. Number one is cleaning up FAM. I think that it's high time. And number two is about youth development. These are two areas which I was really interested in. Because youth development is something which has not been happening extensively. It's been happening, but it's not that big. You've got NFDP running, you have Hari Mahmooda running. But if you look at the States, it's not really working. And that's something which has to happen if we're going to improve.
TMJ has continuously said that his first love will always be JDT. How do you think he's going to detach himself objectively now that he's a FAM president? And what are some of the issues that you see arising from this conflict of interest?
Well, first, he's got to come out and separate things. He doesn't have to leave JDT. I don't think that's absolutely necessary. But at the same time, there cannot be cases of favoritism because there have been issues in the past with the feeder club agreement, with players sitting on the bench, with TMJ himself going down on the bench and sitting although he's not registered. Those are issues which cannot happen because if that happens, then it's going to show favoritism. If he could divide that, then it's not a problem. It's not impossible. But he has come out previously and said that, oh, I'll be biased towards JDT and that's why I shouldn't be president and all that. And now he's president. So a lot of these things may come to bite back if there are cases of favoritism towards Joe. And we've got to see how things are done. It's too early to say about that.
One of the major reforms that we can expect with TMJ is he wants to change the FAM's constitution to allow the fans to vote for the next president. How significant is this for the fans? And I think this is something that they want.
This is one thing I think will never ever happen. I repeat, never ever happen. Because number one, it will go against FIFA regulations because FIFA needs the athletes to vote. You may be able to get in a fan club to come in, but how are you going to get all of them to vote? Because you need to change the FAM constitution. Would the states be willing to give away their power and allow the fans to vote. You put aside whether or not FIFA allows it. You just look at the state affiliates. By changing this part of the constitution, you're losing your power. All the state affiliates and all the other affiliates, there are 20 of them, all of them would have a lesser say. They will not be able to pick who they want to lead the president. You think they're going to give away? Absolutely not. Why would they want to give away their voting right? I think that's never going
to
happen.
Right. We also have to look at what FIFA has to say, what AFC has to say.
That's one thing. I think it'd just be shot down in the Congress, because you need to bring it to Congress. You need at least 2/3 majority to execute the change. These are the same FAs who about a decade ago refused to allow clubs to become affiliates in FAM.
Well, on top of his experience in football, Tunku Ismail is a larger-than-life character. And of course, it's really endearing for the people that the future king of the country is really passionate about football and he's trying to unite people with football. And I think this is really meaningful and it's really more than just sporting excellence for the people. What are your thoughts on this?
He's come out and said that he wants to build a football nation. I think the sports minister said that a few years ago as well. It's high time we become a sporting nation. We're not a sporting nation. We're not a football nation for definite. As much as it's the number one followed sport in the country, I think if you could win, you could compare any success of any other sport. And football is where it keeps everyone happy.
We love football.
Yeah, we do. And sadly, for the masses, it's not our Malaysian football. It's the English Premier League. It's the La Liga. It's everything else apart from the Malaysia Super League. And even myself, growing up, I wasn't so keen on the Malaysia Super League. Over the past 10 years, I would say I'd pick the Malaysian Super League or the Premier League any day, because to some extent, it's my bread and butter. But to another extent, I've also understood that you need to support your local football as well. To build a football nation, you've got to have everyone watching the sport, following FAM, following the national team. And I think it would be great to have everyone coming to the stadium, tickets being sold out again, getting all the races being involved, going to the stadiums. There tends to be a larger crowd of Malays and lesser Chinese and Indians. And this is things which hopefully would improve, and football could be one of the ways where everyone gets together again.
Right, and one of the best things you said, the most respected person in football today has taken over the...
Yeah, probably going to be number one.
And that's very profound. Vijay, thank you for joining us again today and sharing your insights. I hope to speak
My
to
pleasure.
You again.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.